President Bush and other administration officials warn the coming military action will be like no war the U.S. has ever fought. There'll be few fixed targets. The enemy will be hard to locate. The designers of the campaign may be guided in part by simulations and war games devised by military strategists in recent years. But as NPR's Tom Jelton reports, the lessons drawn from those exercises are not entirely encouraging.
The U.S. military has sometimes been accused of preparing only to fight the last war instead of anticipating conflicts to come. That's because commanders naturally draw on their own war experience and on the lessons of history. To get around this problem, military strategists devise war games where a likely future scenario can be played out. Retired Rear Admiral Eric McVaden is one of the Navy's top war gamers. He sometimes plays the role of a future enemy, an adversary, he says, smart enough to find spots where the powerful U.S. military is most vulnerable.
What I have tried to do is to strike at what we might call the low-hanging fruit. So even if it might not be the best military target, if it was a target that could inflict a great number of casualties, maybe I would attempt that. Or other things that would surprise the Americans or confuse them or delay them or something of that sort. So you're always looking for this other means that the more powerful and more potent enemy cannot cope with.
That's the way terrorists fight the United States, McVaden says. In fact, the U.S. military for years has been planning for a war on terrorism. One of the principles guiding the preparation for such a war is that a terrorist adversary will look for ways to trick U.S. military commanders by tempting them, for example, to take some military action that would actually be a trap.
If something looks too good, chances are it is.
Retired Marine Colonel Gary Anderson runs war games at the Marines Warfighting Laboratory in Quantico, Virginia. He also specializes in playing the part of an especially devious adversary.
If we want to really discourage the Americans from dropping bombs on every one of our high-profile targets every once in a while, we'll take one and put a bunch of our own dissident citizens in there and let them bomb a false target and then bring out the cameras and tell them the Americans have been slaughtering civilians willy-nilly and so forth.
Such war games are supposed to give U.S. commanders experience in dealing with the kind of situations they're likely to face these days. But the lessons drawn from them may not be obvious. It could be wrong, for example, just to conclude you have to fight fire with fire. Retired Major General Robert Scales argues that pursuing Osama bin Laden in the mountains of Afghanistan should not mean combat in his style on his level.
You can't simply say that, well, okay, since we're after what in essence is a terrorist or an insurgent-like entity, that we're suddenly going to throw out all of the technological advantages that we have and chase the sky in some primitive 19th century fashion. Because if you do that, then you do exactly what the enemy wants you to do.
Scales, until last year, was commandant of the Army War College in Carlisle, Pennsylvania. A war game played there in 1997 bears some resemblance to what the United States now faces in going after bin Laden's al-Qaeda network. Stephen Metz, the game designer, imagined a futuristic terrorist adversary trying to overthrow a friendly government. The terrorist group was highly decentralized with separate cells or units, each with separate military or financial or political responsibilities, under some loose overall command perhaps, but acting relatively independently of each other.
As I began to look at what happened on September 11th, it just seemed to me that in some ways the al-Qaeda organization is organized along similar lines, in that it's highly separated nodes or cells that may not be in contact with each other.
The American force that went up against that mock adversary in 1997 found it could knock out one or another cell, but it was never able to totally eliminate the group as a whole.
That was the thing that we learned from this game, that such an organization made a terrible adversary because if you cut off one head, the other heads were able to regenerate it. The U.S. military's mode of thinking about an enemy is usually to try to identify what they call their center of gravity. In an organization like this, those of us that were involved in the game speculated it might not have a single center of gravity, and that just made it certainly not undefeatable, but made it a more complex opponent.
The key to defeating such a decentralized group, or bin Laden's own al-Qaeda network for that matter, is to take a broad approach, Metz argues, with different agencies and governments combining military action with intelligence gathering, police work, diplomacy, and financial investigation. In fact, that's precisely what the Bush administration now says it's determined to do. And Admiral McVaden says it appears to him that U.S. military commanders are proceeding in just the way war gamers and strategists would advise.
Certainly it does not guarantee immediate success, and we might experience some very bad setbacks. But I think at least we have the right mindset to attempt to cope with this, and that's about the most optimistic spin I can put on it.
And a forecast that falls far short of the kind of quick and easy victory that Americans have come to expect in recent years. Tom Gelton, NPR News, Washington.